back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Dave Benton, sitting in for Tom Crawford on the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Scott Eckersley here, also taking your calls. And we're trying to reach Jim Jackson. He said maybe around 10:40 he thought he would be free, trying to see what his schedule is. I know he's in a meeting from 9 to 11, a broadcast meeting. Said he would step out if there's any way he could. Let's go out to our phones right now and let's try Jerry from Lansing. Hello, Jerry.
Morning, Jack. Morning, Dave.
Hey.
Got to be a very hot seat you're sitting in, David, by the way. A lot of history in that chair. And much of it not too hot. But by the way, I want to apologize for the no-call last week, Jack.
Sometimes there are good no-calls and sometimes there are bad no-calls.
That's right. Well, the feedback I received was that the show suffered. So,
Well, I'm glad you talked to your brother, Jim. No.
See, you know, it's funny, you're... discussion on Newton. I tend to agree with you. I think he's got a shot. I think at this point he's Heisman toast in a way, and not necessarily for the merits. I think a couple reasons might save him. One is what you guys demonstrated, the innocent until proven guilty. If nothing else comes out and there's a media sympathy that generates for him, then I think he might, survive. The other element is, who's his competition? Who else? Denard Robinson? I mean, who else
question.
Would give...
Kellen Moore.
Yeah, who else
Michael
would give
James,
shaky voters a place to land? Yeah, that's there's got to be an alternative to Newton, because he's the odds-on favorite right now. But on the game last night...
It's not going to be Mike McGloin, I think we've established. Yeah. That it's probably none of the Michigan defenders either at this point.
Well, let's hold judgment on that until after the state game, okay, Jack?
Yeah.
we've made stars with those guys before,
that's
too.
Right.
Payne and Appling last night, interesting, huge contributors. I like the EMU opener. It's funny too. I don't know what you guys feel about it. It seems like, you're not penalized for tough in-state games in basketball, like the football polls tend to penalize you if you have a tough one against the Central Michigan.
Right. Yeah. I would agree with you. I think that, we saw a lot, but we're going to see a lot more from those two guys, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for the call, Jerry. I appreciate
it. Thanks, Jack. Take care.
All right, let's go back out to our phones, and we do have Jim on the phone, but not Jim Jackson. Jim from East Lansing. Hello, Jim. How are you?
Good, Jack. How are you?
Just great.
I was going to call, and too bad Tom isn't there, but I was thinking last Saturday, and I sent an email to my sister and brother-in-law, who are both U of M grads.
Yeah.
And... I said, I'm not sure where Bo Schembechler is buried, but wherever his place of interment is, I understand somebody was walking by there on Saturday afternoon and heard a rumble, and it certainly had to be the old master rolling over in his grave when he heard that his Michigan team had given up 65 points and actually won the game.
I think he had a team in the 70s. I could be mistaken, but I believe he had a team that did not allow 65 points.
Probably true. That is it's just unbelievable. And you take that Michigan team, I think they're just schizophrenic enough to lose to Purdue and beat Ohio State. You just never know with that ball club. So,
yeah, well, that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Do you think, and Michigan is probably going to end up somewhere around 7-5 this year in the Big Ten. And do you think they'll make a coaching change, considering the background of the new athletic director and everything?
Thanks. I appreciate the call, Jim. Dave, I do not think that they're going to make a change if they don't have to make a change.
You can't. Not with the investment they put into the recruits that they have and things like that. You can't at this point. You've got to let it play out, and you've got to see if maybe they improve again next year. The thing you do have to notice is that this year Michigan does seem like they've taken a step in the right direction.
Yeah. The offense should be very good, should be better next year. The defense can't be worse.
No.
So there is certainly a chance.
And maybe they change the scheme around. Maybe they get out of that 3-3-5 that they're running so much. And they just, you know what I would like to see them do? Maybe for the rest of this year. I would love to see Michigan sort of just blitz a little bit more as the year goes along, because what do you have to lose?
I'd like to see the Michigan-Ohio State game be relevant. We have a guest on the line. Very happy to welcome in Jim Jackson, one of the 10 greatest players in Big Ten basketball history, Dave. And I can say watching him was a joy in his days at Ohio State, and it's been fun to watch him as a broadcaster as well. Hello, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, I want to talk a little bit about what you saw last night, Michigan State and Eastern Michigan, and Tom Izzo looking for things to complain about but couldn't find many.
Well, I mean, it's tough in a game like that when it's a blowout, but it's always something you take out of it as a coach. If you saw Tom, even late in the game, wasn't happy with some of the careless passes and turnovers at the end of the game. You saw Tom also tinkering with the lineup, trying to find which combinations work the best because, you know, at the end of the day, he's preparing for, you know, later on in the year, his tournament run, but it starts today. I think one of the things that Tom talked about, and it kind of showed up last night, was when he plays Draymond at the three, he's going to have some problems guarding a quicker three-man that can put the ball on the floor. So, again, you saw different lineups to try to figure out, okay, you know, maybe today this looks good on paper, but let's see, you know, how it actually comes together on the court.
Yeah, and you pointed that out at halftime. You said, you know, this is going to be an area of concern. Are they going to be able to guard that athletic three with certain lineups they want to put out there? Maybe it takes Darrell Summers playing the three and going with the smaller backcourt. The guy who seemed to have some success, if he didn't foul, was Adrian Payne. He's just so long that he was giving Bowdrey a little bit of trouble there in the second half.
Well, yeah, because of his wingspan. Bowdrey wasn't able just to shoot over the top of him.
Yeah.
And if he did put it on the floor, Adrian was quick and long enough to recover. Here's the thing. I think that when we look at Michigan State, and Tom understands where he wants to be, okay?
Yeah.
That the strength is going to be, it depends on the team he's playing. If it calls for a bigger lineup, where he can go with Draymond at the three and, you know, Nick's right there inside and Delvon Rowe. If it's a bigger lineup, they want to go big with Kalen and Darrell starting at the guard positions. Or if you want to go quicker and smaller, maybe you bring in an Appling at the two, keep Corey coming off the bench at the one with Kalen, and move Darrell to the three with Draymond and Delvon playing that way. So it's a good problem to have, trust me, to be able to figure it out. But so you'll see some changes as this non-conference continues to go on.
Jim, this is Dave. I'm just kind of curious, in your opinion, from what you saw last night, how close is Kalen Lucas to being the Kalen Lucas from last year?
What we have to look at is Kalen is going to be different, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He'll get his quickness back. He'll get his pop back. But what I think you'll see is a more under-control Kalen.
Yeah.
A more mature Kalen. By watching tape, he picked out little areas in his game and said, you know what, maybe I should just pull up for the 15-foot jump shot. Break down the defense, draw, kick. These little things slowing the game down, and that just comes with maturity. But he was able to see that because he looked at the game and assessed the game differently from watching it on the sideline. So I think you'll see that a little bit more smarter, more mature Kalen. When he needs to burst, he'll do it. When he needs to pull back, he can do that as well.
We're talking about Kalen Lucas and trying to be another Big Ten Player of the Year repeat winner, and we're talking with a guy who was exactly that for the Ohio State Buckeyes, Jim Jackson, here with Jack and Dave. Jim, when you look at a team like Michigan State, is it possible that it has too many players in terms of finding chemistry and cohesion? And your take on the kind of schedule that Tom Izzo loves to play?
Well, first, let's address the issue of talent. Sometimes too much talent is just as bad as having not enough. Because you don't know what to do. You got to figure out a way to divide up the minutes.
Right.
And that's the hardest part. But what you have with Michigan State, at the guard position, it's kind of a cluster when you look at Lucius, Kalen, and Appling, okay?
Right.
But other than that, you know, you got enough people to spread the wealth around. Mm-hmm. You don't have a plethora of three men.
Right.
So you can kind of figure that out. With the four, you can switch Delvon and Draymond, and they still get quality minutes in the same way through center position. So it's not like you have at Ohio State where you have a plethora of three and two men, and you got to figure out minutes.
Right, right.
You know, so I think that's good. Now, in regards to the schedule, I love it because the thing I admire about Tom is that he doesn't mind playing the big boys. And as players, we want to play against the best. We don't want to play Bethune-Cookman.
Yeah,
you know, we
yeah.
don't, you know, at a big-time program. That's good after our first, you know, and not exhibition games, but we want to play against the big boys.
Yeah.
And Tom has demonstrated the fact that to his guys that, hey, if we want to compete for national championships, we're going to go out and play the best early on. And that's a barometer for us to where we need to be because we may end up playing a team like this in the tournament. So, you know, it's good that we get this exposure and experience early on.
You talk about barometers. Obviously, we haven't seen much of teams so far this year, but as you were looking at things preseason, the Big Ten as a whole, I think, is a very deep conference. Where do you think it ranks among the ACC, Big East, and all that this year?
Well, it has to rank among the best. I think it's at the top, and I'll tell you why. And I said this last night, is that unlike the Big East, or not so much the Big East, but the ACC and the Pac-10, we didn't lose a lot of our players due to the one-and-out rule, okay,
mm-hmm.
in the last few years. Then Greg Oden leaves, and then, you know, Evan leaves after his junior year. But we didn't have a lot of, you know, coasters from Ohio State. Most of the guys came from Ohio State. But if you look at our rosters in our league, you know, Purdue with Robbie, even though he's out, Jawan
right.
and Ichwan.
Right.
Illinois, you know, McKamey, Mike and Mike,
yep.
and those guys.
Yep.
Ohio State, even Penn State, you know, has the talent and returning guys. Wisconsin, we have a team full of experienced players who've been there, done that, who've won a lot of games, who've played in tournaments, who's been the Final Four. And when you put that together as a league, we have to be at the top.
Jim Jackson, our guest on the Jack and Tom Show. Dave Benton sitting in for Tom Crawford. Jim, when you look at what the Big Ten has to offer this year, I did the Big Ten preview for the Sporting News, and I said I thought the Big Ten would have two teams in the Final Four. And it wouldn't surprise me if somehow things broke right and the third team was right there. And I think Ohio State might be that third team. Obviously, Purdue, a huge blow with Hummel's injury. But can you tell us a little bit about Jared Sullinger and how good the Buckeyes are going to be?
Yeah, I got a personal relationship with Jared because my son and Jared played together through the All-Ohio program when they were younger. So I've watched Jared since he's been in the sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And Jared is always, you know, he was a heavy kid, you know, but he always has soft hands, great footwork, and a great understanding of the game. And now his body has matured enough, and you see the domination he's had early on, he had 19 and 14, you know, last night.
Right.
Because he understands how to play the game. And within that system, he's going to get a lot of touches. Now, the key to Ohio State is point guard. Because in college basketball, guys, you know this. Without that floor general, without
right.
that leader,
right.
you're not going to win big. I don't care how great a forward you have or how great of a big man you have. If you don't have that anchor running your team, then you're only going to get so far. And that's the issue that they're going to deal with at Ohio State. But I think they have an answer, and that's in Aaron Craft. This young man, I've seen him since he was younger as well, has the potential to be a very, very good player in our league.
Yeah, he had eight points and nine assists last night.
Well, he's solid because he understands, okay, time and score, how to get my players involved. I'm going to play tough, hard-nosed defense. I'm not going to hurt you and turn the ball over when I'm on the court. And that's what you need in that system because you have a plethora of players that can put the ball in the basket. And you don't want those guys to try to have to make plays for everybody else.
It should be a very exciting winter in Big Ten basketball, and Jim Jackson will be there to chronicle it for the Big Ten Network every step of the way. Jim, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
You got it. No problem. Have a great weekend, guys.
Jim Jackson, and one of the best players the Big Ten has seen in the last 25 years, certainly, and one of the 10 best Big Ten basketball players of all time, our guest on the Jack and Tom Show. We'll be right back. Tom will rejoin us. Dave Benton and Scott Eckersley here as well, 393-3700. We'll be right back with our final segment.